Oscar, would you lead us in a word of prayer to start off? Let's try to hang on to this glorifying feeling.
Father, we just come into your presence right now, Lord Jesus, and we just ask you to just have your way in this class. We lift and acknowledge you. We praise you. We know that you, your Holy Spirit is the teacher. We ask it to flow amongst us and just give us the right things to say that somebody might be ministered to and we might minister to each other out of your word. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name above all names, yes, in the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Okay, we're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. And I'm going to leave it up to you to decide where to stop, because it kind of goes on for a while. Let's see. Okay, we're going to read to 26. I'm not going to leave it up to you.
That's fine.
And
I'm reading right.
Okay.
Alright, so this is Matthew 9, starting at 18 to 26. And while he was talking this way to them, behold, a ruler entered and kneeling down worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will come to life. And Jesus got up and accompanied the man with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him, touched the fringe of his garment, for she kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. And I got him to be made whole. Jesus turned around and seeing her, he said, take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was restored to health. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making an uproar and din, he said, go away, for the girl not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed and jeered at him. But when the crowd had been ordered to the outside, he went in, he took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the news about this spread throughout all that district. Amen. Amen.
Comments?
Well, anybody else want to say something first? I've always got comments, you know, I always can make some comments usually.
Go ahead.
All right, praise the Lord.
I'd love to hear it.
Well, one time the Lord gave me a message on this particular scripture here. And, you know, there's other places where it tells the same story, you know. A little slightly different, you know. Jesus arrived, rose, and he followed the woman, which had, and King James says, which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 is the number for governmental perfection. Mm-hmm. And in the other portions of scripture, it said that she had given up all of her wealth or whatever that she had, trying to get made well, you know, going to the doctors and stuff, basically. I'm paraphrasing that. And, you know, and then she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, you know, she said within herself, you know, I shall be made whole. And the Lord had given me a poem about the hem of his garment one time, and he also had dealt with me about it. And Jesus, you know, I've heard two sermons on this. I've heard one from Doug Fortune, which was good. The people in that day used to tie knots in their garments and stuff, and that was like prayer knots, you know. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the way the Lord dealt with me about it. He dealt with me about it in an entirely different way. Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. But in the Old Testament, Aaron, when they describe his garments, around the base of his garment, he had a pomegranate and a golden bell. A pomegranate, a bell, pomegranate, a bell, all the way around the hem of his garment. And when he went in before the presence of the Lord, you know, the bells would ring, you know, as he moved around. And the tradition was is that they had a rope tied to his foot in case he died, so they couldn't go in there. So they could pull him back out, you know, because he went in before the presence of the Lord. You could die, you know what I mean. But what the Lord dealt with me about is the pomegranates were red, blue, and purple. And red is the number, is the, was significant of the blood of Christ. Blue was significant of the vastness of God. The sky is blue, you know, the vastness of God. And purple was significant of a royal color, you know. So when he went in and there was a golden bell in between each one of those pomegranates. Well, we know what a pomegranate, when I was a kid, I went and got a pomegranate one time. I thought, what is this thing? I had no idea what it was. I just wanted to see what it was. Now I cut it open and it was just loaded with seeds. I mean, it got tons of seeds in it. So pomegranate is significant. It talks about life. Abundance of life. That's what's that, you know, a seeding pomegranate. Mm-hmm. Abundance of life. And then the word for bell there is the word paramon, and it means hundredfold. So I believe that what she did when she touched the hem of his garment, she touched the hundredfold realm. And when she touched the whole hundredfold realm, she was going to be made whole. You know, but anyway, that your Lord gave me a message about that one time. I probably should share it again sometime, the whole thing. But you know, that was the way the Lord dealt with me about that. And, you know, and 12 is the number for government perfection. Well, for 12 years, she did everything she could do to try to get healed. Well, you know, spent all of her substance and everything like that. Well, no matter how hard we try, you know, governmental perfection is only going to come by us touching the hem of his garment, you know, and healing and all that stuff really comes through him. But, you know, like it said here, because he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole, you know, and because she had enough faith to humble herself. And she had to humble herself to reach the hem of his garment. I mean, he was walking, you know. So to reach the hem of his garment, she had to humble herself, you know.
Stoop down.
And she had to bend down, you're right. And she humbled herself, and she touched the hem of that garment. And when she touched the hem of that garment, she was touching abundant life. She was touching the hundredfold realm, you know. That's the way the Lord showed it to me now, you know. But I mean, there's other people, there's other versions of that. I mean, you know, I think one brother, he talked about the knots, you know, that they had knots in their garment and they were prayer knots and stuff like that. And that's I'm not saying that that's not so either, but I just have to tell it the way the Lord showed it to me.
You know, so multifaceted.
But that hundredfold realm, when you touch the hundredfold realm, that there's no greater realm than that.
I can't get out of my head the mental state that woman was in.
Mm-hmm.
12 years, all of her money. Mm-hmm. Last year we learned a lot about that because they were copay. Take mm-hmm. a breath. Mm-hmm. Ah, copay. Mm-hmm. And I was in and out all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand how a woman tried to get everything she could do to take care of this problem. That's not the answer. The answer is touching the feet of Jesus, you know, touching the hem of his garment. And I can imagine when that became made known unto her, someone, she didn't care what anybody thought.
Right.
She didn't care what a fool she had to make out of herself. She would have run down the street naked. She was going to touch the hem of that garment because she was anticipating. Mm-hmm. That's what, there's the healing. There it is. And she went for it, buddy. She went for it. And that, it wasn't in just fingers touching. It was in the expectancy and the attitude of that woman. This is my answer. Here it is. I'm going to get it. And I'll tell you what, she got it.
Well, see, another thing too, and it doesn't say this, but I would say this is probably what was happening, and I can't prove it by anything, but we know that a woman has cycles, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's an outflowing of blood, you know, and, but to have that going on for 12 years constantly, I mean, you know, I know women don't really like when it happens to them anyway, but if that's what was happening, an outflowing of blood, and where does the blood flow outflow from? The place where life is created, you know what I mean? So, I mean, there's a lot of types and shadows if you look at it that way. And I honestly believe that, you know, she had tried everything she knew to do for 12 years. Well, 12 is the number for governmental perfection, like I say. And sometimes we can pour out our life all we can, but that's not going to get the job done until we humble ourselves and really touch the hem of his garment.
Well, I'm thinking of Brother Eddie. It says, remember he used to sing that song, when we come to the end of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's where she came to.
Right.
And I actually believe that's where you'll find the Holy of Holies when you come to the end of yourself. Mm-hmm. Many times when I was a little boy, when my dad was still alive, I had told my brother, I said, we need to go in there. He said, no, we've been told not to go in there. There was a living room, a big room, and I know four adults that went in there. It was Mom, Dad, and the Yeary family, which were tremendous believers. And I crawled in there one day, and I go, oh my, and all four of them were on the floor, prostrated on the floor. And that's the first time I knew what the Shekinah glory felt like. And I'm going like this. I said, this is good. Because they had given all that they could, and they just knowing that they, it said, what's the scripture say, Oscar, when it said, have it done all? What's it say? To stand, be still, stand, and know that I'm God. Yeah. I think that's where we need to come to. Because when we come to that, we quit searching for anything else. We quit worrying, we quit wasting our time. We go, well, we know where to go to. We definitely know where to go to. And, I see all that as that. The 12 years is, yeah, significant. But the thing was, it took her that long. And we should realize it probably takes us that long to come to the end of ourselves. And I just think it's a beautiful thing. But as we see things as God sees them, we'll see his beauty in it.
It also reminds me of Esther. If I perish, and I perish, I don't care. I'm going to see the king.
Yep.
And she saved the nation.
I wish I could remember that whole poem. I don't know if I could or not, but I think I can try to quote it and see if I can remember it. And it went, in the hem of his garment, there's abundant life. There's freedom from struggle and freedom from strife, the refreshing of his spirit, the fruit of his love. As you humble yourself, you will rise above. And that's all I can remember of it, but that's right off hand.
That's
really where it's at. And I believe that in the hem of his garment, that's why that fruit was essential to be there, see, because it was the fruit of life. And when you figure what was going on with her for 12 years, she was pouring out her life, mm-hmm. her life. And, you know, scripture says the life of the flesh is in the blood, you know. So in that issue of blood that she had, she was pouring out her life for 12 years, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, I can't imagine bleeding for 12 years straight and not, you know what I mean, not being able to stop it or, you know, whatever. And, but, you know, there's a lot of truths in the Bible, a lot of truths in, you know, in the Word, you know. But that humility of her humbling herself and bowing down and reaching the hem of his garment, she had to humble herself to do that, you know. What's it say? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he'll exalt you, mm-hmm. you know.
Praise God.
Well, he definitely did exalt her, you know. Praise God.
You know, I like what Jesus said to the people that were playing the instruments and stuff like yes. that. You know, a lot of times, and I hope I say this right, a lot of times there's a lot of noise and a lot of stuff that causes confusion. Mm-hmm. Takes away from that which needs to be seen mm-hmm. and needs to be heard. And they said, well, it's okay. It's actually not okay. God, when Jesus walked, that's God. When Jesus walked in that room, he dismissed them, basically. Otherwise, I mean, he did everything. I don't know what I'd done. But it's almost like, let's stop the nonsense. And let's get to the to what we need to get to. God's very, I don't want to use the word business. He's very direct, especially when he's getting ready to move and do something that they're not expecting. I love it because he said that. That's helped me so many times to say, oh, this is not what it is. Brother Shepherd used to say, we need to hear what the Spirit's saying out of people. They could come up to you and start talking to you, and it won't be anything about what they're trying to say to you. So a girl knocked on our door one time, and she was talking, and I'm not kidding you. The Spirit came upon me. I remember Brother Shepherd saying that. I said, let's stop here. I said, tell me what you need. Let's get down to it. And her baby had just died. And she got down to it, and I go like this. And you know what? You can't help people that try to abandon the truth. We need to live in the truth. Because I believe God's exalted in that truth. And because God knows, he knows your heart. He knows everything that's going on. But she sat there and talked to me. I said, what do you need? And she says, we have no way to do anything. She's talking about like burial and stuff like that and attendance like that. And I told her, I'll take care of that. Because the Lord had emphasized, you know, I had a lot of contacts, a lot of different churches and stuff like that. And I even took that to work one day. And this one guy, quick story, this one guy was in charge of the company for a week. And most of the people thought he was a real jerk. But I took the opportunity and I said, can I tell you a story? And I tell him about this girl. And he goes, yeah. He said, oh. And I says, I've come to you to ask you if you can do anything, I would appreciate it. And all the churches had given me $500. Not me, but Hodev. And I didn't say nothing to him about that. About 10 minutes later, he paged me to the office. He said, I got a check here. He said, who would I make it out to? I said, Hodev's funeral home. He said, well, I hope this is okay. I'm giving her $500. You know, too many times in this life, when people think bad about somebody, they never pass what good comes out of them. And I took that as an opportunity to go right back to the guy. They had a big backstabber on this with this guy's name on it. And I went right to that guy. I said, you know what? I told him the story. He went over, took that backstabber down, tore it up, and put it in the garbage can. So I believe it's important. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, but I believe it's important that when somebody does good, we don't have to get on a microphone and stuff like that, but we are supposed to be the filler of the breach. Like, we're supposed to encourage them. We're supposed to take the part that's got a hole in it, and we're supposed to sometimes just fill that hole in with the Christ in you. Just fill that hole in. And God will move in it. But if we remain silent, I think we're withholding good from those that are, it's due.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, when you think about what that's actually saying when it talks about restore, you know, he's a restorer of the breach.
Yeah.
A breach is a broken place where the enemy can come in, you know, because that's almost like a war term in those days, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's a place where the enemy can come in because there's nothing hindering them there from coming in. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to stand in the breach, like mm-hmm. you were saying. And, you know, when we stand in the breach, we stand in the breach by prayer and by acknowledging God and in the situation. It's just like when they called about that girl, you know, or they texted me, you know, called around. And the first thing we did the next day was, you know, after we heard about it and went to prayer, you know, called Mark and Joey, just because he's the one that informed me about it, you know, through a text. And they didn't know anything. And then about, it probably was maybe 20 minutes later, Joey sent Margaret a text and said, she's awake, she's talking and so, you know.
The report on her wasn't good either.
No.
From the doctors, it's like,
no.
When you first heard, it's like, wow.
Well, I mean, what Mark said was they didn't have any brain activity.
Mm-hmm.
They had hooked her up, I believe they supposedly hooked her up to an EEG and didn't have no brain activity. Well, my goodness, and who knows what her testimony might be.
Ooh,
once
yes.
She's totally restored, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, you don't know what she's experienced. She might have been one of them ones that's gonna tell us something about the other side.
Hallelujah.
You know.
Yeah.
But one thing all those people did say that talked about the other side, they talked about Jesus told them the time's short, it's gonna, in other words, it's gonna happen soon, you know, from what he said now.
I was thinking when you were talking about the noise, Mike and I sit sometimes and, you know, the TV will just be on. And we, at one time, we're probably watching something, you know, and then he'll start doing something else. But neither one of us is paying a bit of attention to the TV. And all of a sudden, usually it's Mike, he'll say, let's just turn that off. And you turn that off and immediately, the silence is so heavenly.
Uh-huh.
It just opens up the air so that you can think without all the confusion, the Babylon, the confusion of it. And within 5-10 minutes, you'll find that we're in a conversation. You know, mm-hmm. We've stopped all of that, and pretty soon we're talking, you know? Talk about interesting things, talk about important things, talk, you know. Talk about how we feel. Talk, you know, it. Just turn it off.
Well, I
just
made
internal noise and external noise.
I made 5 phone calls to people at other churches that I know, the 10 other churches.
Yeah.
I had a great night's sleep.
You know, the thing about it is that I think sometimes the more people that go to prayer for something like that, it's just like, you know, with 1,000, you know, one will put 1,000 to flight, and what was it, 2, 10,000, and so on and so forth. I mean, it just increases the atmosphere of the Lord around the situation, I believe, when a lot of people go to prayer over something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really neat thing. But that was one of the things that one of those people said in one of those videos I saw. The Lord told him, he said, people need to pray. That's what they need to do. They need to pray. And he even talked, the one they talked about, America, and they said, you know, there's a great darkness trying to come over America. He said, but there's lights and people just need to keep praying, you know, and that kind of thing. But, and that's true. I mean, you know, what'd he say? He said, we're the light of the world now, you know. Said he sat on a hill can't be hid, you know. So
it's time for the church to raise up and be the light.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right. And we should be looking for darkness. Not avoiding it. We should be showing it's not welcome in our presence. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. I mean, I believe people in their homes, they open up it and they're into this and into that. And I go like this, hey. And they go, yeah. I said, where's Jesus in this? What? That's what I thought.
Do you think, Clyde, that when we see darkness, he said, look around for, we should be looking for darkness. You think we should run toward that darkness?
I do, because I think that's the, especially if it's within individuals. Mm-hmm. How do you think they're going to find freedom? They're not going to find freedom by staying in darkness. Mm-hmm. They're going to find freedom by knowing there's a light that cares beyond that darkness and beyond this light. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Jesus, to me, when he walked the earth, and he's got multiple people walking the earth today, but when he walked the earth, never shunned from darkness. Mm-hmm. I mean, why? And, you know, in the Bibles, especially in the Gospels, it said he went here, people got healed,
yes.
People got set free, demons got cast out. I mean, I'm not sure what business people think that we're in, but this is all this should be all our business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't walk into darkness without shining light.
Well,
we are the light.
I think that God wants us to practice his presence, mm-hmm, in a greater way. Well, we're going to church, we ought to pray there. My goodness, you're in a car, you're in your bathroom, wherever you're at. When you're one-on-one, that's the time to pray. I mean, God alerts you in that. I used to be on an elevator, and I'd say, as soon as I shut the door, I said, God, here am I. Like I had to know, let him know where I'm at. What I was telling him was, I want to hear you. I want to be engulfed by you. I want you to know that this is your time. You know, because people don't take time. They got time for everything else. I mean, we should admit this, because it's going to free us. We got time to do everything. But time's short. I think that time's short is for us to acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. That he's always there. He always cares. He's always willing to go the extra mile. Oh, it might be an interference, but by God, if it's something we like, we go there. That's not, come on, we gotta admit the truth. If we can't find ourselves in this truth, in this life, I said, how we expect to find it in him? I mean, you know. Well, anyway.
Brother Arthur, can you look up the word ambassador and what the meanings, I know that it has? One of you.
Ambassador?
Yeah. In the dictionary or in the concordance?
There won't be a whole lot of difference.
Pardon?
In the dictionary or the Strong's concordance?
Yes, you know what? In either way, in the dictionary, even the
definition for ambassador. It says an accredited diplomat sent by a country as an official representative of a foreign country. That's what it says in that. But we are ambassadors,
yes,
for Christ.
That's
scriptural here.
We're his representative. When people see us, they should be seeing him.
Ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay, well, here you go. Being an ambassador for Jesus Christ means representing him and his message of reconciliation,
mm-hmm,
in the world. Mm-hmm. And when you say reconciliation to people, to Christians, they want to back away a lot of times.
Isn't that shame?
It is. But see, he's given to us a word of reconciliation, and he's also given to us the work of reconciliation,
yes.
See? And the work and the word of it is telling them that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto
yes.
himself, not in putting the trespasses.
Yes.
And the work that the church has to do is quit in putting their trespasses on.
Yeah.
If God's not in putting them in there, you need to quit in putting them in there, you know.
This is interesting. I looked it up in Strong's definition, and
uh-huh.
one of the meanings was a hinge.
A hinge. What does a hinge do?
Opens a door.
It opens or closes a door.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, sometimes a door needs to be opened in people's life, and sometimes a door needs to be closed in their life to other things that
yes.
are not the right things of the Lord, you know. So that kind of goes both ways, you know, but it can be positive both ways, you know,
mm-hmm.
opening and closing.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be nice if the world knew that we were all doors.
Mm-hmm.
Gates have hinges.
No,
hallelujah.
What does he say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I'll come in, I'll sup with him.
Yeah.
You know. And he says, I've set before you an open door.
Yes.
And you know.
Jesus.
And if he opens the door, no man can shut it. If
right.
he shuts the door, no man can open it. You know, so
interesting.
Yeah. The neat thing about it is that you can see the Lord in just about everything if he starts opening your eyes to it. I mean, you know, my message today, part of it, is going to be about some theologians I heard talking and some Bible scholars or whatever. I'll talk about that a little bit. I'll just tell you a little bit about it. I was listening to them. And they're trying to explain away everything and take it down onto the level of
mm-hmm.
human existence, you know.
Yes.
Well, you know, we need to start taking it up to the level
yeah.
of the Lord and not down here on this earth, you know, what the level of this earth would, the understanding that they would have. and you know, it just, I don't know, it just amazes me sometimes. But what Scripture says, he hides these things from the wise and the prudent. He reveals them unto babes. And you can't glory in the fact that God reveals something to you in yourself, because he didn't give it to you because of your abilities. He gave it to you because of your inabilities, so, your lack, so that you could, you know, help other people a lot of times, you know.
I've been sitting here thinking about sharing something that kind of goes along this way. You remember how I told you about our stepdaughter, Jennifer, and the baby? The mother lived in Columbus, and her new baby, how can I say it? She died at her hand.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think it was on purpose or whatever. But anyway, she took a plea deal. She's in jail for 15 years. She had another daughter, and Jenny and her husband, I will call him her husband, he is the daughter of this girl. So, and she is a Wicca, and she doesn't, you know, and she just kind of, very argumentative, you know, you just can't talk to her about in an open way. But I send her little things, like little morning prayers, and I make them, I always make them very easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for today, Lord, you know, something like that. And little by little by little by little, she's been listening a little bit. And then I've been telling her how God can do anything. If you trust him, he can do anything. And after 2 years, well, now it's after like 3 or 4 years, they keep going to court trying to get custody of this child, but the father's mother is getting the custody. Okay, so
he's not the father.
No, honey, that's why I was going to the point. I said, don't count God out. She called me the other day. She said, I'm starting to listen to what you say, Kath. It's unbelievable. She says, the word came back. After all this time, I kept saying, well, they have still not proven to you the paternity. And she called and she said, they finally got the word, and he is not the father, which changes everything. Because now his mother is not the closest blood relative. And she and her husband, he is the closest blood relative. But she said, Kathy, I'm starting to believe what you say. Oh, Father. I said, he is able. He can do so far above and beyond whatever you think. You know? And when she's in these frames of mind, you can tell her and she'll take it. But you have to know when to stop. Anyway, I thought that was so marvelous that God is proving himself. It's hard for me to even, she is in such a mess that it's hard for me to even believe that God can do anything for her. But he can.
God's word does not return.
But he can. Yeah.
Never.
Not a mess.
Once it's went forth, it's gone forth to do what it's declared to do.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, Kathy, too. Scripture says, despise not the day of little things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we think, well, this is just a little thing sending this to her. But little is much when God's in it.
Yes.
I love that song.
Yes.
Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. So as long as the Lord's directing you to do it, the little things will become the great things.
Yes.
Because they'll be the things that'll crack the door or fit in the lock and unlock the door sometimes, and just be that, just continue to do what you feel like the Lord has you do, because that's a tremendous thing, and a lot of times we think, oh, this is just a little thing. No, it's really not. It's really a big thing. It's a big thing in God,
Well, I can say that there is not a human being on the face of the earth who can communicate with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's that angry and opinionated
and that reminds me of that guy that was the Christian comedian, he was in the Air Force, and he actually had been like a high priest of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was. And this Christian brother, this Christian guy in the Air Force, and I think in the Air Force they don't have you in barracks like they do. I think they almost have you in almost like rooms. You maybe got a couple people in the room or whatever. But anyway, this Christian guy kept witnessing to this guy, and the guy told him. He said, "I don't want to hear any more about Jesus." Because he was a high priest of Satan, is what he was, high priest of Satan or whatever. And the guy sat on the bed, and I guess the other guy was in another room, but he made sure the door was open and talked really loud about Jesus. And that guy came running across there and dove on him and knocked him down, started trying to beat him up, And he said, if you tell me about Jesus one more time, I'll kill you, basically what he told him, I believe. And he said the guy looked up at him with tears in his eyes and blood on him and says, I have to tell you, Jesus loves you. And he said, when he told me that, he said, that was the beginning of the end of me.
Mm.
And then this guy ended up being a comedian, a Christian comedian.
Telling it like it is.
Yeah, to tell it. And he's very funny, and they used to have him on. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he died or something or what, but they used to have him on around Halloween, because he'd talk about Halloween being, a satanic type thing, all this stuff. But I thought, God knows what he's doing, man. Now, we don't know. I mean, look at people like, not Nicky Cruz, but the guy that got Nicky Cruz, I can't think of his name.
You're talking about the switchblade guy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
David
Wilkerson. David Wilkerson. When he went and started administering to those gangs, I think a couple of them was just about ready to kill him, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, God, the things he uses and the way he gets to people, it's just, there's nobody that's past him getting to them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just that little thing or that little word or that little this or that that'll break that wall down, you know. But when he said, when that guy looked up at me, with blood on his face and tears in his eyes, and said, "I have to tell you, Jesus loves you." He said, "I mean, that made me laugh when I heard it the first time. I thought, well, that's all it took that last time, you know." And I mean, he could have said, "I ain't telling him no more about Jesus," you know. That would have been the natural thing to want to say, but he said, you know.
I tell her everything that Snoopy can say. Like, she loves Snoopy things, yeah. Those little Snoopy dog things.
Yeah.
Yes. Anything that's got Snoopy in it, yeah. She loves it. So I send her a lot of Snoopy things.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Good morning. And
that keeps the door open.
Have a day. Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. What's it say about us that we're supposed to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves? Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's a smart thing to do, you know. I love that.
And I feel like God has shown me something more.
Yeah.
Something good. And I'm just going to keep my peace and pray about it.
Yeah. Well, when sometimes if you want to share it, let me know and we'll get you out there and you can share it with everybody.
Oh, God is so good.
Yeah. Yeah, sure is.
I'm not sure there are words to say how good.
Well, really, I don't think when you have real deep encounters with God, there isn't words to describe it. You know, it's way beyond human understanding in that sense, you know.
I woke up this morning, and last night I had lots and lots of pain. Mm-hmm. And I put my hands on myself, and I just prayed, you know. And I woke up this morning, and I got out of bed, and nothing hurt. My hips didn't hurt, my legs didn't. I wasn't walking like Pat Bullock. You know, I was walking straight and tall, and I walked out into the kitchen, and I had put back bird food just the other day, and I spilled some right by the window. But there were three or four little birds right by my window eating my leftover bird seed. And then I looked out, and the sun was shining. All the little plants were just flowering, and the redbirds were there, and the goldfinches were there, and I started crying. That was the only proper thing
response
that I could do to tell how that made me feel.
Yeah.
There's no words for that. And eye has not seen, and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for us. I mean, this is an ant's view of what God has prepared for us. All we're seeing is the garbage that's on the kitchen floor where the ants are crawling around, you know? Wow. Wow. I'm elevating. Oh, never mind.
That's levitating.
Oh. One of them takes.
You know, after church last week, Sam, our drummer, came up to me and he said, "I'd like to talk to you." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'm not sure if you believe in this or not." And I'm going like this, "I'm going to love this."
Uh-huh.
And he says, "This past week," he said, "I forget what day it was," he's looking at his wife. He said, "But I got so much pain in my back." Mm-hmm. I go, "Yeah." He goes like this. And I looked right at her. "You know, if Clyde's in this much pain, I have to pray for him right now."
Hallelujah.
And he said, he began to pray for me. And I go, "Yeah." He said, "My pain went away." I said, "So did mine." But that's how God works.
Yes.
He will bring a burden or a pain, whatever it is. And he's trying to bring somebody to your remembrance.
Yes.
So you will mention that before the living God.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, I think last week I said, I thank God for pain because it brought us closer to him.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but a lot of the people who had those healing ministries, that's how they could tell what was happening with someone else, they would feel it in themselves.
Right.
You know, that's why God let them know, you know. And what was Jesus when it said he was touched with what? The feeling of what? Our infirmities.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we should, I honestly think you're right, Clyde. I think we should pray anytime that we have pains or something and say, Lord, I don't know if this is me or if this is for someone else. And if it's for someone else, I ask you to touch them. If it's for me, touch me too, you know. But, you know.
Well, Rich used to do that with me. He'd call me on the phone. He goes like this. He goes, Clyde, I'm feeling your pain. And I go, yeah. He goes, yeah. He goes like this. And it's in my kidneys. I said, so's mine. And but we pray for one another and announce that God had witnesses to us that, you know, he was touched with our infirmities. Mm-hmm. And I said, shall we not be touched by other people's infirmities?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I go like this, I'll tell you what, you get enough pain, you'll pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll keep on praying. Mm-hmm. And you might pray for 12 years.
That's right.
God's timing is perfect, but so is his deliverance.
Yeah.
Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Let's, if you don't mind, I think it's time to close. Debbie, would you close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you, we praise you for what you did for Courtney and her family.
Amen.
And what you're doing in your people all over the world.
Yes.
Waking them up to see you, the real reality. Father, we just thank you for your word, how it cleanses us and helps us grow. And we ask that you touch the service today.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone that needs your touch today.
Amen.
And we thank you for doing that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.